Welcome back to Cork Food Stories podcast. I am Clara Cooney, owner of Clara Cooks. I do everything from reorganizing your kitchen, teaching you how to cook, whether it's one-on-one classes or group fun nights with friends and family, and also have a private chef service for your in-home entertaining. On top of this, I love the chats and talking about anything and everything food. We're in series four, where we're talking to business owners who in the past few years took a leap of faith just like myself and followed their passion to set up their own food related business. On this week's podcast, I'm talking to Jason Linton, owner of The Cottage Garden in Kinsale in Cork. Jason, originally from London, arrived on our shores in 2010 to study permaculture. We'll talk about that in a moment. He's a lover of all things vegan, yoga, and living a life of sustainability. Jason's passion turned into a career where he wanted others to be able to get the best fresh plant produce directly to their door, where in 2017, he set up The Cottage Garden. Jason, welcome. How are you?
Hi, Clara. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm great, thank you.
Great.
Sitting here in front of our computers and the sun is beaming through the windows. You know, we should be outside.
Exactly.
Thanks a million for coming on today. I know you're really busy at the moment, and it'd be great to just chat to you about everything that's happening in your business.
Sure. Thanks for having us.
Not at all. Now, I know before we start talking about actually the business itself at the moment, you grew up in London, so I'm very intrigued. So tell us a little bit about your childhood in London and especially around the food element.
Yeah, so I grew up in Northwest London, which is a melting pot, of course. You know, there's so many cultures there. But my family are Jewish, so I was exposed to a lot of traditional Jewish foods growing up. And although there's quite a strong link between Jewish culture and food, my mother isn't really the best cook. So, you know, she wasn't really that into food. And, you know, I grew up in the 80s, which is, you know, the era of the ready meal. So my mom really, she bought into the idea of not having to cook and just throwing stuff into the oven. So, you know, nutrition wasn't really considered as long as it was convenient. So, you know, it wasn't really a big part of my childhood. And I didn't really know, you know, too much about cooking from scratch. You know, once a week we had a, you know, a cooked from scratch meal like chicken or fish or whatever. You know, but we always had sweet treats around as well. So that kind of affected my health detrimentally. So it was only really when I went to university and shared a flat with other, you know, international students that I learned more about cooking, you know, because I had to kind of fend for myself and do my own cooking. So I was living with a Spanish guy and he really showed me how to like cook bolognese from scratch and all this kind of stuff. Amazing. And that really sparked my passion for cooking, because, you know, I'm a really creative person and I love food and I love the sensory element of food. And when I discovered how, you know, how creative you can be and how, you know, how creative it is, then that's when it really sparked my interest.
Yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, I find not just as a creative, but I find cooking to be so soothing. To me, it's like therapy, to be honest with you.
Yeah, yeah.
And once you find that passion for it, it's just really lovely to be able to do that. So you self-taught yourself in university, but at this stage you were still eating meat and everything. So when did kind of veganism come part of your life?
Well, actually, I'm not vegan now. I'm not even vegetarian now, but I was. And I was 23 when I went to India. And that's when, you know, a lot of different ways of thinking started to, you know, I discovered a lot of different ways of thinking. And, you know, I did yoga and I really explored kind of Hinduism and different things out there. And, you know, there's this concept in Hinduism, which is called ahimsa. Or ahimsa, which is basically non-violence. So I was reading a lot about Gandhi and about, you know, Buddha and all these kind of things. And it really kind of struck me, you know, how we can bring that into our everyday lives and how food is so important and it's such a connection between us and the outside world. So, you know, I really kind of wanted to be the best person I could, and studying yoga, it kind of went hand in hand with being vegetarian. And also, like, being out in India, I guess the reason why I wanted to be vegetarian first of all is because I didn't want to eat meat whilst traveling. But then that changed and it became about the concept of nonviolence and about yoga. And then it became about health, interestingly enough, because, you know, yoga is about health too. It's about looking after our bodies and about being, you know, kind to ourselves. So, you know, that came into it. And then, you know, there were a lot of things that I needed to heal. So like I had IBS all throughout university. So I realized that obviously there's a massive link between what you eat and how, you know, how you feel in your gut, obviously.
Yeah.
But, you know, so I started to explore that more and more. So that's when I got into veganism and raw foods. And, you know, I really delved deep into it, you know, after that.
Absolutely. And did you, you know, you were talking there about having IBS, because I think a lot of people go through life with gut issues. Some never never get told that it's IBS. Some people get told they have IBS when it might be something completely different. The word is kind of thrown out around a little bit. So
it is.
Did you go through tests to find out, you know, about IBS, or did you more or less self-diagnose?
No, well, I did go and see doctors, and you know, they obviously explored my symptoms, and it was probably anxiety related, you know, being away from home at university and being around a large social group, and just that kind of change. And you know, I've always been a little bit anxious kind of socially, so, you know, having, you know, it made sense and it fitted. And you know, I've learned how to manage it through food, but also through things like mindfulness and, you know, self-awareness and meditation. So, you know, that you can't really separate, it's very difficult to separate. And that is one of the reasons why it's so difficult to diagnose, because there's such a mind-body connection, and especially with the gut, which is so, you know, so many neurons in the gut. So, you know, it's not only the food we put into it, it's how we feel, how we think, how we, you know, train ourselves. So, but obviously food is a big part of it. So, you know, it's having the awareness, okay, when I eat food, how does that make me feel? You know, how do I feel when I'm hungry? How do I feel when I'm full? How do I feel when I overeat? How do I feel when I eat around people, or when I eat by myself, or when I eat under stress? There's so many factors. So, you know, I found it really fascinating exploring all that. And it's a long journey. It's not something that, oh yeah, I have IBS, I can treat that. It's like, takes a lot of trial and error, really, to improve the symptoms.
Absolutely. And I think you're so right there. You know, our gut isn't just about the food we put into it, but it is so about stress and, you know, our mindfulness and how we actually manage all of those as well on top of it. And I think more people are becoming a lot more aware of that now, and understanding that their gut has links to so many other parts of what's going on in our lives. But it's great to have that knowledge yourself, because you obviously are, you know, you're very self-aware when things aren't working for you, and what you need to do differently for your food, which is fantastic. So at that stage you were, you know, you'd gone off everything. We can talk about when you went back on to meat again, but were you still when you decided to actually focus on permaculture, which you can talk to us a little bit about what that is about, were you still vegetarian, vegan at that stage?
Yeah, it was only really, I think it was about 2 years ago, maybe 2.5 years ago, that I went back onto eating meat. And that was a journey, you know, again, through self-healing. And I moved over to Ireland in 2010, and I moved over to study permaculture. So there's a course in Kinsale, which is a fantastic course. It's at the Further Education College here in Kinsale.
Yeah.
And it teaches, at the moment it's sustainable horticulture, but at the time it was called permaculture. And they do give you a permaculture certificate when you complete the course, but you also learn about horticulture and growing commercially. You know,
which is fantastic. And I know not everyone is going to know what permaculture is. So explain a little bit. Permaculture and, you know, how it does differ from horticulture.
Sure. Well, permaculture is a design system, and it's not, you know, it's not chained to horticulture. It can be used for horticulture, but it can actually be applied to anything, from an office to a garden to your calendar to, you know, anything you can think of, you can use permaculture. So it's basically a way of thinking that tries to mimic nature, because nature is the most intelligent designer on the planet, with millions of years of experience. So, you know, we, for example, like if you take a forest, you know, that forest has evolved to be the most productive, efficient ecosystem, you know, in the environment where it is. So, you know, it's, everything has evolved to kind of maximize output and make the most of what's available to it. Everything has its niche. So if you compare that to a farm, say like a monoculture farm, like a field of wheat, the field of wheat is totally the opposite of a forest, because there's only one crop. There's no diversity. And, you know, it's actually very inefficient. There's a lot of inputs to the system. We have to spray it, we have to, you know, till it, and we have to do lots of things to make that wheat grow, often use chemicals. And, you know, then the output is only one level of crop. Whereas if you compare that to a forest, there's many, many layers of outputs, from mushrooms to herbs to trees to fruits, you know, and all the nutrients are being cycled. So no one has to come in and give it anything. You have the animals in there which are defecating and providing the nutrients. You have the trees which are losing the leaves and then feeding the shrubs and creating soil. So everything flows and manages itself. So with permaculture, the aim is to create, if you're applying it to a garden, is to create a garden which you need to have very, very little inputs, but you get the most yield out of it. Okay. And like I say, that can be applied to anything.
So you're applying that as well in your business at the moment?
I'd love to say I am. I mean, there's a lot to learn. It's, you know, I'm on a journey with it.
So before now, the cottage garden came about. So you became an Irish distributor for Iswari products. That's correct. So tell us a little bit about who they are and how you got involved with that.
Yeah. It started out in India. Again, I was out in India when I was 23, and you know, I was traveling, and I spent some time in an organic farm out there volunteering. And I met someone when I was out there who was also volunteering, and his name was Gonzalo. And he was an incredibly impassioned person, and he was, you know, into spirituality and into, you know, organic farming and into, you know, all these concepts. And he taught me actually yoga. He was actually one of my first yoga teachers. So, you know, we became friends, and, you know, we stayed in touch over the years. And when I moved to Ireland shortly afterwards, he contacted me and he came to visit. And he said, oh, look, I'm starting a company, and I want to sell superfoods. So he was basically, you know, importing things like wheatgrass, spirulina, cacao, which is chocolate.
Amazing.
And he was, you know, packaging them and selling them onto his friends. And he was like, you know, I want to be international and I want to start this company. And do you want to help me? So I was just kind of finishing the course there in permaculture. And I, you know, I'd had interest in superfoods before, but I hadn't really explored them. So I saw it as a really, really great opportunity to put what I'd learned into practice and to do something which was, you know, organic, sustainable, and, you know, helping people and to do with food. So, you know, I said yes. And we, you know, I started to, you know, buy some of the products from him. And, you know, at first we had separate businesses and I would sell to local health food stores. And then we merged and we created our own business together. And I started developing recipes. So I came up with some superfood breakfast cereals where you just added water and they were ready and they could very highly nutritious. And I created a chocolate bar. So we were quite successful. We distributed around, you know, health food stores and supermarkets. And we did that for about 7 years. And I left then in 2017. I just wanted to explore new things. And Gonzalo recently sold the business to a big Portuguese health food distributor. So it's still operating now. But nonetheless,
that's great. And you must have got such a good, you know, knowledge from that as well, from just working, also running a business, number one, you know, getting you ready for your next business, but also the understanding of the superfood itself and how it can be used, which is fantastic.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great experience, and it was absolutely invaluable. And it was really interesting because I had no business training prior to that, you know, so I think there's no better way of learning than actually getting out there and doing it. And, you know, with food as well, I didn't train in food technology. So it was a massive learning curve, learning about labeling and about product development and all these things. So, you know, that was really a great achievement and something that I'm pretty proud of. You know, it really helps, you know, when going forward in life.
Amazing. Amazing. So I know at the time as well, so you were growing on your small plot of land in Kinsale while you were starting and all that. So obviously then your passion for agriculture came in at this stage.
Yeah, exactly. Because I'd studied permaculture and I was looking for somewhere that I could grow. And I moved into this cottage then in 2013. And there just happened to be a, you know, piece of land outside about, you know, a third or half an acre. And, you know, it was all briars and it had been used for grazing horses. And, you know, it was just there unused. So I approached my landlord and I said, listen, it's there, it's being unused. Do you mind if I develop it? And he was like, absolutely no problem. So, you know, I put up a couple of polytunnels, completely cleared it and started from scratch. And again, that was a great learning curve, you know, learning how to build soil fertility, you know, how to get the crops growing and how to manage them. And, you know, so it was really like hands-on learning, and that's exactly what I was looking for. So, you know, over the years, I managed to build up, you know, the soil fertility and get some good crops growing. And I was delivering then to houses around Kinsale, just, you know, some, you know, packs of cherry tomatoes and kale and all those kind of things.
Yeah, amazing. I know I had an allotment for 4 years, and my God, the amount of produce I used to get out of it for the summer months. So everyone benefited. No one helped me on it, but everyone benefited from the food.
Yeah.
That's always the way. But my own grandfather, he actually had, my great-grandfather, he had an organic vegetable farm and did door-to-door deliveries. Like, my mum tells me stories of sitting on the back of the horse and cart, rather box deliveries by courier. That's the way it is.
That's amazing. But
back then it was nearly kind of all organic. There was far more vegetable farms than there is today. Why do you think that is, Jason? Why do you think that, you know, there's been such a decrease in the vegetable farms across Ireland?
Yeah, I mean, fossil fuels, you know, our food system has been decentralized. You know, we now, you know, it means that we now no longer have to produce and consume the food in the same place. You know, we can produce the food somewhere and consume it, you know, thousands of miles away. And this obviously has advantages and disadvantages. And one of the main advantages is that, you know, the food that grows well in one place can be transported to another, you know, so we can feed cities remotely and all this kind of stuff. But then the commercialization and industrialization of agriculture took this concept and it literally started changing our food on a chemical level to fit it into this model of profit and business, meaning, you know, that people can work on other things and leave food production to a select few in the country, and not even in the country, in the community, you know. So we may not produce the food in the community that it's grown in, and this is a problem, because, you know, the nutrition gets lost when it's transported. So there's been, you know, people are not so interested in farming nowadays. You know, people are interested in what makes money and, you know, the technology side of things and, you know, the white collar kind of work. And, you know, it's sad and it is a shame, but I think there's also a resurgence now, and there's much more interest now in biodiversity and, you know, the need to, you know, look after our environment and make sure we don't lose species and habitats, and, you know, also connection with our food. And more people are turning to organic, more people are realizing that chemicals, you know, they damage the ecosystem, they're detrimental to bees and butterflies and all these things that actually help us to produce our food. So, you know, there is a shift now, hopefully back. And, you know, I know from my business promoting organic food, promoting farms and local food and local produce, there is a huge interest now and a huge kind of, you know, resurgence. So hopefully that continues and more people will start getting back into, you know, connecting with the land and realizing that food tastes so much better when it's produced, you know, on our doorstep rather
absolutely
than transported.
Yeah. And I think actually you're right. The one thing that's come out of this pandemic that's a positive is that people are so more interested in where their food comes from, supporting local. Is my food grown organically? Who is growing my food? And it has changed the way a lot of people have been thinking about food. And it's also changed the way we shop a little bit as well. I mean, I've always been somebody, I just grew up with a family that we supported local. And shopped local as much as possible. Yes, there are products that you can't get in Ireland because we can't grow them here due to our climate. But there's definitely a lot more awareness about where those products come from. And I suppose that's the thing about social media as well, that social media has, you know, the benefit side of the positive side of social media is the ability to be able to share a lot of these facts as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you're right with the pandemic. It really has seen a kind of back to basics attitude, because, you know, when the systems that we know and we've known throughout our lives are put under pressure, and when there's something big that changes, you know, our everyday lives, like a pandemic or war or something which is disruptive, you know, we really have to look at, okay, well, what are the things I need for survival? And food is one of the things that we need for survival. And we forget very easily that the systems that are in place are actually quite fragile. Yeah. So the fact that our food is transported for thousands of miles often and, you know, refrigerated and packaged and all this kind of stuff, you know, if there's one glitch in the system, if there's some problem, then, you know, suddenly there's panic buying and, you know, people don't know what to do or people feel incredibly insecure. So, you know, we forget that and we go about our everyday lives thinking, oh, everything's fine. But if we're not connected with our local growers, with our, you know, a source of, you know, local nutrition, then, you know, we need to be a little bit careful and rethink, you know, how we live our lives and, you know, where is that security coming from?
Absolutely. And this is why I love your business idea. So, I mean, in 2017, you know, you would come up with the cottage garden business. So tell us about the business idea and tell us about how you got it all started.
Yeah, so I kind of fell into it. In that period after I left Ishwari, I was growing a lot of my own food in the polytunnel. And, you know, I began interested in selling that to others because, you know, it was so tasty and so, you know, vibrant. And so I started a little delivery service basically through Facebook, just posting up, you know, oh, look at this salad, look at these cherry tomatoes, you know. And very soon I had a small customer base. And I actually bumped into a local lady while she was walking her dog, and I'd never met her before, but she knew people that I knew. And she stopped me and she's like, oh, you're growing that polytunnel and, you know, how's it going and this kind of thing. And she basically said, listen, I have a little piece of land up the road, and she offered me to use her land for what I wanted, whether Amazing. That was growing or for other things. So I said, okay, great. And it actually so happens that her sister runs the market up in Dublin called the Green Door.
Oh yes, very good.
It's one of the biggest kind of farmers markets up there, and she grows, you know, her own produce and sells them in the farmers market. So she had some contacts and some ideas, so she was like, let me put you in touch with her. So I spoke to this lady and you know, I started to find out, okay, you know, how to get my hands on some organic produce, and you know, who are the other growers in the country, and if I want fruit, where can I import that from? And you know, so I set up a garden shed on this lady's land up the road, which I used as a packing shed, basically. So I just bootstrapped it all from there, and you know, was packing produce in the packing shed, and then I bought a cold room and stuck that in my garden, and you know, so I just basically built it up layer by layer, you know, from nothing really.
That must have been a big learning curve for you as well.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's incredibly challenging starting a business from scratch, but especially fruit and veg, because, you know, everything's perishable. So you have to be very careful each step of the way and, you know, be really on the ball with managing things. And yeah, it's exciting, you know.
Very good. And how was your first kind of few years, we'd say, you know, when you just started off and growing that business around Ireland? How was it? I mean, we talked there just about you know, the pandemic and people getting more aware about what they're eating. But before that, was it a difficult start for you?
I mean, like I said, I already had a small customer base and people were very, very interested in getting the food that I produce. But of course, that was limited being on a small piece of land. So, I mean, it was very exciting, very rewarding and very frustrating. You know, it's quite competitive work. There are quite a few fruit and veg sellers out there. It's very physical, very long hours. There's lots of hurdles and challenges along the way, which, you know, I had the energy for and it was exciting and everything. It takes a lot of patience and, you know, there's a lot of admin as well. So, but like I said, I had the experience from the previous business, so that really helped. In terms of customers, yeah, it was, you know, I had customers around Kinsale and that's where I started, and I was delivering around Kinsale, and you know, it was ticking along, but I wasn't really making any profit, you know. So I knew I had to start selling in Cork City and start building the business. And yeah, it was very, very slow to begin with. You know, I think I remember the first year I was doing, you know, fluctuating, you know, 10, 20 deliveries in Cork City. And then by Christmas, it was back down to 10. And, you know, I was trying to work out how to break through. And I guess one of the biggest breakthroughs just before the pandemic was setting up my own website, because that, you know, that online presence really allowed.
Absolutely.
You know, and we set up this choose your own. So I put up, you know, all the produce online and people could choose their own. And, you know, that there was actually no one really at the time doing that locally. So I think that really helped. You know, the fact that people could choose at their fingertips and it wasn't just, oh, you know, I'm getting a box and I don't know what's in it, or I can't change what's in it. So that really, really helped. And yeah, so that was the beginning.
Yeah, I think that's a very positive step on your part, because there's a lot of families who don't eat certain foods. We know that. And they have their routines of what they eat on a day-to-day basis, and they like to be able to kind of keep that. So that was very positive. Exactly. And of course, Then the pandemic hit, of course, and we saw a great surge of people wanting to support local, as we were talking. So that must have been quite a positive effect for you on your business.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, we saw, you know, instant growth overnight. Our sales quadrupled, and we had to upscale very quickly. It was absolute chaos at first, especially because there was so much uncertainty around that time with food chains. You know, the first, you know, all the distributors were under immense pressure to deliver large volumes of food very quickly. So, you know, how, you know, and especially for someone who, with very little experience in, you know, I'd only started in 2018, so I had about a year and a half under my belt. And, you know, to suddenly upscale, thankfully, we just moved in to a new unit and we had actually a second cold room, which belonged to our landlord at the time. So we had everything there and we were totally unaware that this was going to happen. So we moved in a few months before and then this hit. So we had the infrastructure in place. And suddenly we were doing, you know, 100, 150 boxes going from like 20, 30. And then neighbor food increased as well. So we were, you know, we were really, you know, tested because all the logistical problems, you know, how do we plan a route, for example? How do we make sure that every docket has the right delivery number on, you know, these kind of things. And it was automation, working with systems, what apps can I use to, you know, so that I'm not staying up all night kind of labeling boxes and numbers and planning routes and things, you know. So yeah, we really had to think on our toes.
Of course, and I think everybody had to think on their toes as well when the pandemic hit. And of course, you see, you had Brexit as well that was going on.
Exactly.
So the supermarkets were suffering. And that, I do think as well, that is where a lot of people started turning to, hang on a second, what's local for me? You know, the shelves aren't stocked like they used to be in the supermarkets. And people just started also, there was a big push, support your local, support small business. And definitely, we're very lucky in Cork. We are such a you know, passionate about our food and passionate about supporting locals. So that was brilliant. I know it must have been a big change for you, but well done. That's fantastic.
And, thanks.
And so you've got your own projects, but you also use other Irish producers.
We do, absolutely.
So tell us about them.
I mean, yeah, so there's, you know, there's, we do produce our own and there's a limited amount of our own produce. We have fantastic cherry tomatoes and cucumbers and, you know, salads and various things that come out of our own production. But, you know, it's nowhere, when you're doing 150 boxes, 200 boxes in neighbor foods and markets, you know, there is no way we're going to be able to cover all that with our own produce. So we started looking locally and there are some very, very good key producers for us in the locality, which is fantastic. We have Food for Humans there over in Ballinhassig and they, you know, Stephen Sinnott, who grows, who's the owner of Food for Humans, he's incredibly smart when it comes to growing. He calls it beyond organic. So he uses a lot of soil science to provide the right organic nutrients for the plants to grow. And he tests his soil and he tests the sap in his tomatoes and everything. So he really has a very good scientific brain. And that really actually is reflected in the outstanding quality of what they produce. I'm totally, you know, blown away every time I taste, you know, one of his, you know, tomatoes or cucumbers or broad beans, how vibrant they are. So, yeah. And he actually pulls out the plants and shows you the roots, you know, compares the root systems on, you know, a plot that he's, you know, done nothing to, or, you know, in a plot that he's applied certain organic nutrients to. And, you know, you can really see the difference. So he's essential for us. And then there's Horizon Farm, which, you know, a bit of a larger scale farm, you know, they've several, quite a few acres and they produce, you know, sweet corn and cauliflower and quite a few very unique crops. It's not like, you know, the everyday grower with his salad, they do salad, but, you know, they think outside the box and their quality is excellent. So, you know, he's just down the road from me, you know, a couple of minutes away. And then we have Purple Squirrel and Kilbrack Farm and they're out in Donerail. And they're both on these kind of old castle estates and with walled gardens and various things. And they again, their quality is absolutely fantastic. And they're very passionate about what they do. So I love supporting them. And, you know, they're the key kind of local producers for us. And then, you know, we also, bring in pallets and produce nationally. So we work with Beechlawn Organic Farm over in Galway and they have a fantastic output, you know, such a large variety of produce and quantity as well. And then we work with a few other, you know, we're starting to kind of link in with, you know, other farms and his farm in Tipperary. And it's not an easy job because there's so much traveling involved and transport involved. You know, collecting the produce ourselves or organizing, you know, sometimes even a quarter or half a pallet, which is costly. But, you know, our commitment to organic Irish produce is, you know, very strong. You know, we'd rather, you know, lose a bit of profit and provide, you know, local and seasonal, which is what people want, than import everything on one pallet, which is easier for us to do. But, you know, it's reflected then in the quality, and it's reflected in the ethical, you know, aspect of what we offer. And, you know, we really want to offer something which is, you know, grown here and preserves that nutritional quality.
Well, I think it's amazing. And I think I love that you're really dedicated to having, you know, the producers that you have on board with you that supply the, you know, some of the fruit and veg. That you've really done your research in them, and you know exactly, you've spent time with them, they're passionate about it, you're passionate about what they're doing. I think that's fantastic. And, you know, that makes it even more of a success of, you know, when people are looking up for, you know, wanting to get their boxes of veg delivered, that they know that as well, the passion that's behind it. So you're in Kinsale Farmers Market every Wednesday. Whereabouts is that, Jason? Where's the market on in Kinsale?
So the market has moved. It used to be in the Market Square, which is kind of behind the main street in Kinsale, but it's actually moved since the pandemic. It's moved to the car park opposite Centra. So it's soon as you come down into Kinsale, it's on the left-hand side, and you can't miss it. It's a much better spot, you know, it's vibrant, it's there as you come in, and it's got a great atmosphere. So definitely highly recommend popping along.
Brilliant. So you people can go and just pick and choose different types of food from you. Okay, great. Yeah. And then tell us though, how do people actually sign up for your veg boxes?
Yeah, so we have a website. It's thecottagegardenvegbox.com, or you can just Google us, Cottage Garden Kinsale. And we, you know, on the website, you can literally just choose your own items. That's totally fine. You can, you know, add the items to cart, checkout, done. You can also subscribe to our, you know, weekly or bi-weekly veg box deliveries. So we're very, very flexible. And when you subscribe, there's a little box, and you can write in that box what you prefer. So you can say, I don't like potatoes, I love potatoes, I don't like onions. You know, you can literally tell us whatever you like or dislike, and we will try our best to actually accommodate that for you.
That's amazing. And do you actually supply to businesses as well, Jason?
Yeah, it's a small part of what we do, but we supply St. Francis Provisions in Kinsale, which is one of the nicest little cafes in Kinsale, occasionally OHK, and you know, a few other little cafes and restaurants, you know, dotted around West Cork, but not that many. You know, our business is primarily, you know, retail business, but we always welcome, you know, especially for Irish produce and, you know, speciality fruit items. You've lovely cherries at the moment, you know, and just all the seasonal organic, you know, chemical free things that you wouldn't be able to get, you know, from other suppliers. You know, we have excellent you know, sources for. So
brilliant. And tell me, like, I love the residential side of it, that you just don't even have to think about going to the shop, you just get online and get it ordered, and you know it's good food. And what days do you do your deliveries?
So we deliver around Kinsale on Tuesday, and we deliver around West Cork, kind of as far as Clonakilty, on a Wednesday. So Kinsale on Tuesday covers all the way out to Ballygarvan, near the airport, and Ballyhassig and all around. And then Cork City is on a Friday. So we cover all the areas around Cork City. And we also cover some of the surrounding towns, like Cove and Middleton and Caroline, Passage West. Yeah. So all of them are covered.
And so if I wanted to get stuff, so I'm in Douglas, so, and you're doing your delivery on Friday, so what day do I need to have it booked in by?
Yeah. So if you order by Wednesday at 8 p.m. in the evening, then you will get a delivery on the Friday.
Fantastic. That's fantastic. So I know you've had a lot of growth, Jason, and I think it's amazing over the last year, but what's next? What's next for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's always been about the growing for us, really. So one of our key aims in this business is to, you know, acquire some more land and be able to grow ourselves, put up some more polytunnels, and really start producing, you know, the cherry tomatoes and the cucumbers. Because, you know, when I go outside and I see and I harvest and I pick and I deliver my own produce, it's such a fulfilling, you know, feeling. And I know that it's, you know, the best quality, and I know that it's the freshest. So I really want to be able to give all my customers what I produce myself. So, you know, that's the aim, to try and find a piece of land, whether it's rented or purchased or whatever. And however long that takes, we'll keep aiming for that.
Brilliant. And is there any plans for you to go national?
Yeah, I mean, it's a logistical, you know, issue, because, you know, when you're dealing with fresh produce, it has to be transported and protected. And, you know, we wouldn't really trust any courier to be able to handle our veg boxes, you know, in the same care that we would like. So at the moment, we're working really, really hard to develop our back end, our app, which is basically our stock control system. And it allows us to sell to different sales channels in an efficient way. So imagine if we have orders coming in on a Saturday or Sunday for delivery next Friday, which we do. But in the meantime, we have farmers markets and neighbor foods and other deliveries. We want to be able to make sure that we have the items that were ordered. So we've been working on this back-end stock control system, and that's taken a lot of our energy and time, and that will be developed. And, you know, we're hoping to finish that, you know, within the next few months. And once that's done, we can start expanding then and look at national delivery and, you know, growing more and doing all the, you know, we have to have the infrastructure in place first.
Amazing. Well, Jason, it has been an absolute pleasure. I absolutely love your business idea. I think that it is just, you're at the very baby stages. It's just going to grow and grow. And I think, you know, well done to you for getting through it all and, you know, and being able to provide such a fantastic service to the people of Cork. So thank you so much for coming on and telling us about it today.
Thank you, Clara. Thanks for having us.
Not at all. It's been an absolute pleasure. So as Jason said, you can go onto his website, www.thecottagegardenvegbox.com, to order your veg box. And this will give you full details, prices, and where in Cork deliveries are made on what day. So it's a great way to have your fabulous fruit and veg delivered to your door, sourced mainly from Irish suppliers with the best quality in mind. You can also follow Jason on Instagram and Facebook under The Cottage Garden. Thank you everyone for tuning in today. Remember to subscribe, like and follow so you won't miss any of the wonderful food stories I have on. Thank you to Red FM for the production of this podcast as always. And I'll be back again in a few weeks with another fabulous food story of Cork.